It is a violation to deny gay couples communion, Catholic Archbishop personally invited by Pope Francis told the press. The Vatican is undergoing a synod to discuss the topic of the family. At the opening of the synod, a top Vatican official, Monsignor Christoph Kramser of the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith, declared that he was not only gay, but had a long-term same-sex partner. He was fired for not adhering to the discipline of priestly celibacy. His statements, however, have caused many to remember the media alleged reason the previous Pope, Benedict XVI, resigned from his position. The Vatican rumor mill at the time claimed that the Vatican gay lobby had ousted him and had wanted to appoint the man who is now known as Pope Francis to replace him. Benedict XVI, of course, before he became Pope, was instrumental in the creation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and was one of the bishops at Vatican II. He gained the nickname of God's Rottweiler for his insistence on obedience to the dogmas of the Catholic Church. Butler's Lives of Saints, an old Catholic work, refers to the Catholic religion as an ancient religion, a reference to the founding tenets of that faith, that dogma cannot change and that the Church of Jesus' time is the Church of today. Parts of that core beliefs centers around the provision of communion bread, which the early apostles taught was only to be given to those who adhere to the gospel which they had preached. In the biblical letters the apostles wrote, they go so far as to claim that the reader should reject even their own statements if they contradicted what they had said originally. Taking communion while in a state of so-called mortal sin was compared to re-crucifying Christ by early Christians. Among the older Christian religions, other than Catholicism, which do not have concepts such as mortal sin and venial sin, these still have sins that warrant a person not taking communion until they engage in a ritual known as confession. Vatican English language attaché Father Thomas Rizika earlier this month said that the synod fathers are supportive of, quote, an anti-exclusionary language, unquote, and place, quote, a strong emphasis on embracing reality, unquote. He states, quote, we do not pity gay persons, but we recognize them for who they are. They are sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. Following this press statement earlier this month, the Archbishop of Chicago, Blaise Kupich, who was personally invited to the synod by Pope Francis, has also now stated to media that pastors must give communion to homosexual couples, saying that their choice to take communion was from conscience and inviolable. Kupich has been fast-tracked his position as Archbishop of Chicago, and as he states, was personally appointed to the synod on the family by Pope Francis. He also stated, quote, in Chicago I visit regularly with people who feel marginalized, elderly, the divorced and remarried, gay and lesbian individuals and also couples. I think that we really need to get to know what their life is like if we're going to accompany them. Unquote. And, quote, I think that gay people are human beings too and they have a conscience and my role as a pastor is to help them to discern what the will of God is by looking at the objective moral teaching of the church and yet at the same time helping them through a period of discernment to understand what God is calling them to at that point. And quote, he said, quote, it's for everybody, I think, that we have to make sure that we don't pigeonhole one group as though they are not part of the human family, as though there's a different set of rules for them. That would be a big mistake. Unquote. And that's his statements as quoted by LifeSite News' John Henry Weston and Pete Belinsky, where they also have audio of his statements from Friday, October 16, 2015 at 11:51. That's when they published the article. During Vatican II, the Church dogmatically declared homosexual acts to be sinful while classing the attraction itself not to be. If the dogma of the Church were to change as a result of Pope Francis' synod of the family and subsequent declarations, it would be an unusual event in the history of the hitherto largely unchanging beliefs of the Catholic Church. Cardinal Serra, who at the last synod meeting blasted Pope Francis in its opening remarks, arranged for the African bishops to meet in his country prior to the synod in an attempt to prevent the Church from changing its dogma. He has stated to media that he believes that most of the bishops are on his side. Cardinal Napier has expressed similar sentiments. The pro-dogma camp seemed convinced that a repeat of the previous meeting, where a group personally placed in their positions by Pope Francis drafted a document based on the meeting which bishops later said had sorely misrepresented their statements. On his trip to the USA, the Pope met briefly with a woman who was imprisoned for refusing to issue documents for gay weddings. The Vatican later stated that that was not an official meeting and that the only official meeting at that location had been between the Pope and a former student who is gay. Patrick Archbold and a number of other well-known traditionalist figures in the blogosphere recently launched a petition calling the synod a sham and asking any faithful bishops to walk out if it broke from tradition. It states, therefore, we faithfully request that each and every faithful Catholic bishop at the synod, having made every effort to resist these attacks on Christ's teaching, if its direction remains unaltered and those faithful voices remain unheard, do his sacred duty and publicly retire from any further participation in the synod before its conclusion, so as to prevent greater scandal and confusion. Some traditionalists have begun quoting what they claim to be quotes from a mystic known as Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, which quotes said Vaticanists often use in the opposition to Vatican II, namely, "Then I saw that everything that pertained to Protestantism was gradually gaining the upper hand and the Catholic religion fell into complete decadence. Most priests were lured by the glittering but false knowledge of young school teachers, and they all contributed to the work of destruction." It might be noted that in the rest of the quote, the Holy Father is portrayed as God-fearing and prayerful. Pope Francis himself is preparing the Church for his statements following the Synod. The Holy Father went on to say that each and every one has a place in the Church and that the key to journeying well together is listening. "A synodal church is a church of listening," said Pope Francis. "It is a mutual listening in which everyone has something to learn. The faithful, the College of Bishops, and the Bishop of Rome, each listening to the others, and all listening to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to know what he says to the churches. The Synod of Bishops," continued Pope Francis, "is a convergence point of the dynamism, this listening conducted at all levels of church life, starting with the people who also participate in Christ's prophetic office and who have a right and duty to be heard on topics that touch the common life of the church. Then come the Synod Fathers, through whom the bishops act as true stewards and interpreters and witnesses of the faith of the whole church, which they must be able carefully to distinguish from often shifting public opinion. In all this, the successor to Peter is fundamental." Finally, explained Pope Francis, "the synodal process culminates in listening to the Bishop of Rome, called upon to speak authoritatively as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, not on the basis of his personal beliefs, but as the supreme witness of the faith of the whole church, the guarantor of the church's conformity with and obedience to the will of God, to the gospel of Christ and the tradition of the church." This is from a Vatican Radio article published on the 17th of October 2015. And off of that topic, whether this case of confusion is a case of the notoriously bad Vatican press officials who regularly clarify statements, or a case of the direction of the synod being shown, is uncertain. What is known is that the figures who were placed personally into the synod by Pope Francis tend to agree with the proposals of Casper and Marx that dogma must either change or be ignored in practice. It will be interesting to see where the synod goes from now, and whether or not the synod and its follow-up result in a split like that which occurred after Vatican II, given the opposing forces of the Catholic Church, have rarely been so vocal. Either way, Pope Francis has noted that while he will listen to the synod, it will not be binding on him. Rather, he will need to be listened to after it and obeyed. Some think he means to make a from-the-chair statement after the synod concludes. Others simply believe he is stating that whatever the synod decides, he will still make his own voice heard, and it will need to be heard above it. Very Vatican I of him, isn't it? Vatican I defined papal infallibility as a doctrine. As for whether a two millennia old church will de facto or per the change camp dogmatically change its views on sex and reproduction, and on whether it is sinful for communion to be taken when in mortal sin, we the spectators wait with bated breath. Thank you very much for listening to this article.